Coffee and Bible Time podcast, our goal is to help you delight in God's Word and thrive in Christian living. Each week, we talk to subject matter experts who broaden your biblical understanding, encourage you in hard times, and provide life-building tips to enhance your Christian walk. We are so glad you have joined us. Welcome back to the Coffee and Bible Time podcast. I'm Ellen. And you know, we often give in to our cravings, whether that's candy, food, shopping in excess, or any other unhealthy habit. And these behaviors can lead us to having feelings of shame and depression, especially among Christian women. Well, joining us today is Angie Haskell, author of the book, Sugarcoated, Finding Sweet Release from Cravings That Control Us. And together, Angie and I will discuss facing our cravings head on and purging negative habits from our lives to reclaim our worthiness and find true contentment in Jesus, who wants us to make choices that bring true fulfillment. Angie Haskell is an award-winning author, artist, and speaker who engages audiences with her approachable personality, southern charm, and passion for helping women form healthy relationships with themselves and others. Angie has worn many hats with great enthusiasm. She is the author of several books for children and young adults that's under the name Angie Spady. As a high school teacher, she was featured on PBS as well as Kentucky Teacher Magazine for her innovative teaching techniques. Her paintings are featured in esteemed art galleries in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Tucson, Arizona. She reminds herself and all women that God created us to survive and thrive. A Kentucky native, Angie is the mother of two adult daughters and married to her soulmate, contemporary artist William Haskell. They make their home in the mountains of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Please welcome Angie.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on here. And we've already been chatting and I feel like I've known you forever. So thank you.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk to you, Angie, because Santa Fe is one of my favorite places of all times. And you just have the most interesting story. And it's like all of these favorite topics that I have are mixed into your life, like the love of the Lord and food and art and New Mexico. So I thought it would be just great to start with having you tell us a little bit about your story and kind of how all these things intertwine.
You know, it's interesting how God has a plan and we sure don't see it coming. One of my favorite sayings is, if you want to make God laugh, tell him what your plans are. And, you know, that definitely applied with me. I grew up in Kentucky, a teacher, an art teacher in high school, and thought I'd retire at that. Got derailed a little bit and thought, I can't make a living teaching. And unfortunately, that's reality for so many people. And it shouldn't be, because it's the most important job in the world. And I was spending every penny I had on art supplies for my students. And I ended up working in pharma for the biggest pharmaceutical company in the world and did really well. Thought I would retire at that. And, you know, my husband and I would end up in an RV traveling the countryside. You know, I had it all planned out. Mm-hmm. And I was on my way to work one day and I was hit by a semi-truck. And my world literally turned upside down. Didn't know what I was going to do. Severely depressed. Had a nerve injury in my limbs. And my doctor said, you've got to get out of the humidity. And I ended up in New Mexico. Thought, okay, I'll start over. And boy, did I start over. A divorce blindsided me. And in my 50s, I thought, what in the world am I going to do? And God really got my attention. And I started writing, meeting women all over the country, healed from the divorce. Wanted to go forward, love New Mexico. I finally found my happy place And I would meet women who were just like me. They were struggling. They had needs. They had cravings. They were trying to figure it all, how it all worked in being a Christian. And I would tell them, you know, I'm thinking about writing a book about this. They would literally grab me by the hand and say, Angie, you got to write this. And it was then I knew that I wasn't alone and that they were struggling too, and they needed a voice. And so it took 5 years, but here we have Sugar Coated, and I pray it helps other women who struggle or have been struggling, and to get healthy in the light. It's so empowering to do that with Jesus.
Yes, it sure is, Angie. Thank you for just being so authentic and sharing. This is really a tough topic, but we are going to take a hard look at the why and the what we reach for to quench our physical and emotional cravings. So let's start with the why. Why do we even have these cravings? What's going on the inside that's causing this?
Well, you know, we know we live in a fallen world. You know, the Bible makes that very clear. We know sin and temptations are all throughout the Bible. And I really think, you know, let's face it, God put those in the Bible for a reason, to say, these people are just like you. I mean, whether we're reading about David and Bathsheba, or we're reading about the woman at the well, we know these have been around a long time. And the thing that complicates it, I think, in 2024 is we're lacking a sense of community among a lot of people, especially young people. You know, they'd rather buy a car even and have it delivered to their driveway than have to deal with people. But sometimes those things can get you in a lot of trouble, because then you're relying on a computer, you're relying on social media. And I've said before, I don't think it's any shock that one of the symbols in social media is a piece of fruit with a bite taken out of it. I don't think that's any chance, you know, I think that's planned. And we can get so sucked in, especially younger people. And you're busy and you rely on that computer so much. And it depends on the age. I think you'll agree with me on this. Is it depends on the age what our cravings are sometimes. And I think that can change a lot. And so then it's when I interviewed almost 1,000 women when I wrote Sugar Coated. It was amazing, the changes and the differences in cravings. And my point of writing the book is, let's stop the cravings before they turn into addictions.
Mm.
It's a critical crossroad that no one's been talking about. Mm. And it's pretty raw and real, but we've got to do it.
Yeah. And that's so, so smart, because once you hit the addiction point, you know, the problem is just getting that much bigger and harder.
Exactly.
Well, one of the things that you said right from the get-go in your book is that one way or another, we pay a price for giving in to our cravings. Tell us about how you came to that realization.
I talked to a lot of women who had survived pain or were right in the middle of it. And so many times when you really put it under a microscope, a lot of these needs go back to wanting to feel desired, wanting to feel loved, very legitimate wants that are very normal, but they get all skewed, you know, and that depends on our upbringing. That can depend on our friends, who we hang around, and we see how they meet their needs, or we may have seen how our parents meet their needs, and then it just spirals downhill. And the other issue, I think, that occurs, for example, one example I used in the book was shopping. I was a shopaholic to the point it destroyed my checking account. You know, it was great buying a handbag, and taking it home and carrying it down the street and thinking, oh, how cool I look, but they didn't see, you know, a negative balance on my, in my checkbook. But my daughter is a cognitive psychologist who writes books about this. And our brain doesn't know the difference when dopamine, a neurotransmitter, is released in our brains. So it, whether it's a handbag, whether it's viewing pornography, whether it's being online talking to someone inappropriately, regardless of what those are, our dopamine in our brain doesn't know the difference if it's a sin or not. We know the enemy knows that. So you combine the enemy and temptations with what's actually going on physically in our minds, it's tough. Because we don't, our brains don't know the difference. And so then it's really being alert to seeing, wow, this is a problem. This is a serious issue. And there's so many topics to talk about in terms of how to deal with these. But you've also got to get to the root of, why are we doing this? And a lot of it goes back to wanting to feel loved, desired, and respected. And if you don't have those things, and sadly, a lot of women don't, we got to figure out how to get those things in a Christian, healthy way.
Learn what theology is and how to study God within the Bible in course number 7 of our in-depth Bible Study Academy. In this academically built course, you will learn the tools to study God's character and nature within a Bible passage and how to grow closer to God relationally through Bible study. This course, titled Theology, Knowing God Through In-Depth Bible Study, is packed with teaching lessons, homework, quizzes, and a resource list for personal study. Head to our website, coffeeandbibletime.com, to learn more about the Academy and course number 7 today. Use promo code CBTPODCAST, that's CBTPODCAST, to get 50% off this course right now at coffeeandbibletime.com.
Yes, absolutely. What would you say are some of the common triggers for these unhealthy cravings?
Well, I think a lot of times, and I hate to go back to social media, but it's such a prevalent force. I talked to a lot of women, for example, in their 30s. They were raising children. They were newly married. They craved peace and understanding of all the pressures. But then they'd get online and they'd see all these airbrushed women who were not even real. And they were thinking, oh, why don't I look like that? Or I wonder if my husband looks at that. The wife may be addicted to pornography. The husband may be addicted to pornography. And let me be very clear about this for anyone listening. The statistics of affairs and pornography, all sorts of harmful addictions, they're the same for Christians as they are non-Christians. That breaks my heart. I've talked to pastors about it. We know their issues no matter if you are a faith or not. So you can't use that as a denier factor. It's real, it's out there, and we've got to figure out how to address it. You know, and then they change as you get older. You know, when you get in your 40s and 50s, maybe the kids have left the nest. And then you've got the elephant in the room saying, we've got some issues here we need to talk about. And it's owning it. You know, it's really owning it to say, I don't have all the answers. And it's going to someone for help who can help you. And we can never be ashamed of that.
No. No, absolutely. You know, kind of while you got on the topic of people struggling with pornography, why would you say it's just so important for men or women to confront this?
It's a destroyer. I mean, it is evil. It is a destroyer. There's of healthy relationships. Pornography is a lot like even streaming shows you watch on TV. Okay. I'll be the first to say I have been guilty of watching a Netflix show only to see it go off the rails in the bedroom. And I'm like, what? And this would have been a great show without that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's everywhere. It's not just on some channel you have to pay for. It's on TV. And then when I spoke with women, 30s, 40s, 50s, every age bracket, here's what they said. Well, I thought my relationship should be like that. I wondered, why don't I have a hot relationship like that? You start thinking down that road. And then if you think, and I had a woman tell me this that was 37, never forget it. She said, if my relationship's not like that, and I couldn't talk with my husband about it because I was too shy, then I'd rather just watch it on TV. Or I'll watch it on my phone. It's a slippery slope.
Hmm.
Because you can go down a rabbit hole that is horrible, and it will take your heart, your spirit in a very dark place. And the worst thing about it, it's hard to get out of. You can. There's hope in Jesus in doing that. But you have to be willing to own it first. And that's why sugarcoated is kind of a tongue-in-cheek title, because you've got to quit sugarcoating it and say, this is who I am. And I am still loved. That's the thing, is I met a lot of women who didn't even know Jesus because they felt they were so far removed from Christ that he wouldn't dare want to talk to them. And that's heartbreaking. You know that as well as I do.
Yes.
It's about stepping out of the shame and into Jesus's arms and know you are loved no matter what. You know, Romans 5:8, right? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us in the middle of it. And that's the beauty of Christ, is he loves us and will meet us where we are. It's just so important to remember.
It sure is. It absolutely is. You know, we have someone working on our team right now that came from working at a ministry called Regeneration Ministries. And I'm going to go ahead and just put the link in our show notes. But if you're listening to this and this is an area that you're really struggling in, this organization helps people walk in freedom from sexual brokenness. So I will put that in there. Well, let's shift gears, because another one of these sort of unhealthy cravings are the sugar sweets that tempt us. I always say everything in moderation, but it can go too far. So why do you think these are such a temptation, and how does food feed into this cycle?
So many times of the women that I spoke with that were either, and it's so interesting because it was both extremes. I talked to women who were severely overweight and had just given up, or I talked to women who had to check themselves in an anorexic treatment center. You know, for example, the book talks about Princess Diana, for example. This was a woman that you would have thought had everything. She was the first princess. She had every designer clothes she wanted. She had jewels on her head, around her neck. And yet what did she do? She went to the bathroom and regurgitated her food. She was bulimic. So many times, you know, women want to hide that. One really critical point that I encourage about when it comes to eating disorders is, especially if you are a mom, because my pastor says what we do as parents, our kids often do in excess. And I think that's so true. And I talked to a lot of women who were so obsessed with their appearance and dieting, their kids ended up the same way, to the point they were wanting reconstructive surgery when they were 16. You know, you see parents get so obsessed with that their children end up like that as well, except to the extreme. There are treatment centers to help women. They do financial assistance, but you have to step out and realize there's an issue here. And so many times it goes back to love, just pure love, wanting to be accepted right where you are. And the first step is saying, okay, the only person really that I have to please is Jesus. That's it. And he loves me no matter what. So that's a big check mark in your column right there. Then it's, you know, taking the next step to say, I need to get healthy. And I hate to say it, but sometimes it's depending on where you live or the upbringing. I had someone that told me once when I was young that counseling is for weak people. Mm. That you don't dare do that. It's embarrassing. That's so cruel. I really think that's the cruelest thing that anyone has ever said to me, because I did have to go to counseling. I shopped too much. I was angry. I didn't feel love in my marriage, and I was extremely lonely. And I wanted to figure out why I was so mad all the time. And my kids would even say, Mom, you're always angry. Mm-hmm. And I had to get to the bottom of that on, you know, I wanted love. You know, I wasn't going to find love in a handbag and a new pair of shoes from Amazon, even though I tried. And so we all go about that different reasons. And I spoke with women who were severely overweight, and they got angry to the point they were angry that they couldn't figure out why they kept gaining weight. So their response, well, I'll just keep eating. And I understood that, and it broke my heart. But now there's other medications even that can help with that. And, you know, I worked in pharma. So we know there's medications that can also help on both sides of that. But you got to be willing to do the work and get the help. And it may be just picking up a phone and making an appointment or getting online to say, okay, let's first seek out who can help me. That's a step, but that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely is. It's so interesting because for me, food and shopping, those two things too have, like, if I go back and I look at my prayer journals, I can see, you know, over and over again, you know, in the course of my years of being a Christian, just saying, God, help me in these areas, because it does seem to be like two common, very common things among women. And I'd like to sort of tie in this biblical perspective of how we can be encouraged by what the Bible can teach us. Tell us how you include information about how the Israelites' 40-year journey to Canaan was an example of God's faithfulness, and we can glean from that even today.
Well, you know, the Israelites were a bunch of impatient people. We know that. And we know today that's like impatience times 1,000. Our attention span is approximately 10 seconds. We are not a happy society overall. Like the Israelites, we know depression and anxiety in this country are higher than they've ever been. They used a golden calf to say, hey, we're done with you, God. Here's what we're going to worship. I mean, in this country today, we've got golden calves on our phones. They're everywhere. And yet we forget the lesson there. And that was of patience. And God saying, you're going to have to trust me, but you're also going to have to abide by what I'm telling you to do and what not to do. And I think it's so important that we think about that today. We have to put down the temptations and walk away from them and get back to the word. You know, it can't be just, you know, briefly remembering what God says and then going on our merry way, getting back on our phones. We got to make some actionable steps to do that. And that might be locking up your phone at night and putting it in your car. You know, stepping away and saying, okay, I'm only going to be on social media for 30 minutes and that's it. One thing staggering I thought, and it's included in Sugarcoated, is the group that's higher on social media spend longer time on social media. And this floored me. And I've double checked the statistics in two different ways. It's women over 50. I would have never thought that in a million years.
Me neither.
Would have never. But we are older and we have more time. And it's just, I was like, wow, it's no wonder divorce rates go up after 50. And so I thought that was startling as well. So we got to own it too. We just can't chalk it up to the, you know, and say, oh, it's all the young people doing this. It's everybody. You know, it's everyone. And one thing, one story from the Bible that I really encourage women to go back to, and that is in Mark, when the woman was just, was bleeding incessantly and just wanted to touch Jesus's garment.
Yes.
You know, we don't know what type of physical problem she had. In my brain, it's like, maybe she had she was going through menopause. And that's why all the women were exiled going through that, because no man had to deal with it. It'd probably be different if they did. But, you know, but there's so many times in my life, and I, regardless of how old we are, I think as Christians, we have felt ourselves saying, Jesus, can I just touch your garment? And there were times in my life I was like, Jesus, I hope you feel this, because I am white knuckling it. I'm not just touching. I'm grabbing on with both hands. I just went through a divorce. I feel so broken. I'm embarrassed as a Christian that I'm divorced. I'm embarrassed that I couldn't fix this. Please don't let go. Just hold on. And we got to do that. And remember that we can, that he is there to allow us to hold on. And he's not going to let go of us either. And so it's so important that we use those stories. And, you know, David was a train wreck. You know, it's another story. I mean, we know the sin after sin this man committed. But in Jesus, in God's word, it also said he chased after God's heart with everything he had. We got to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are some great, great, encouraging examples. I have found too that what helps me is having an accountability partner, someone yeah. that I can say, whether it's my husband, my daughter, a friend,
yes.
okay, this is what I'm struggling with. You know, can you just ask me, like, on a regular basis, how am I doing?
That is so wonderful. I mean, I hope you feel me high-fiving you, because I'm serious. You are so ahead of so many women who refuse to even do that. One thing I write about in the book is called having a sister circle. And they can even go to my, if they don't have sugar-coated yet, they can go to my website and read the blog about it, because I just posted it actually this morning. But every woman needs a sister circle. And in my view, after talking to therapists and pastors, they don't need to be a daughter. A daughter's too vested in who we are as a parent. I tell my kids all the time, and they're 28 and 32, I love you, but my job's to be your mom. You have best friends. My job is to be your parent, no matter how old you are. But adult women need sister circles who are women close to their age, who get it. And like you said, I mean, do you have any idea how many women I talk to that don't say, I need an accountability partner? You know, you and I know that you need that. And so I encourage that. Ask yourself, if I were to get sick, who would I call? We're not talking about a husband or a daughter. Who's a friend you could call? If you had someone you had to tell a secret to that was burdening you, who would that be? Ask yourself these questions, and that's your sister circle. Should they be a faith? Absolutely. Because then they're really going to hold you accountable. Are we supposed to judge one another? You know, I have a lot of women say, oh, I don't judge anyone, and everybody can do their own thing. That's not what the Bible says, really. We're supposed to, if we have a Christian sister, a Christian friend, and we know they're struggling, we should go to that person, not to point our finger and say, you horrible, horrible person. It's to say it with love and say, I've noticed you're struggling with this. I'm here. Does it take a lot of trust on our part? For sure. But to get a friend like that, you got to be a friend like that. And that's not always easy. And I have some girlfriends. Man, if I didn't have them in my life, I don't know what I'd do. When I got divorced, they were on a plane the next day and said, we'll stay as long as it takes. I cry out of gratitude for those women. And I implore all women, find a sister circle. You may have to get out of your comfort zone, but do it. Mm-hmm. It will help you step in the light such a powerful way.
Mm-hmm. And being vulnerable enough to share those things is really what strengthens those relationships. And, you know, I also want to encourage people just for Christian counseling, because there are some things, like I have a Christian counselor, and it's so helpful from the standpoint of there's some things that I just don't want to tell anybody that I like actually know.
Exactly.
Like, no, you know, and it's a safe place.
Right. But we all have pastors too. And sometimes depending on your comfort zone with your pastor, who's, you know, my pastor is such a real deal. You know, he's like, we are all broken. It's like a MASH unit. We all come in here on stretchers and we all just wanting to get some healing and medicine, and we all got to own it. And I've gone to him about things that scare me. But then I also have a female Christian counselor, as you do, and she's awesome. And so, and that's okay. You know, we may not want our pastor to know everything. It's like you said, but you got to find someone. Life's tough. And Jesus is there, but we got to step out of the zone and say, I may need some help. Sometimes it may even involve medication. I've had some say, oh, I can just pray my way out of that. That's not always true. Sometimes medication is needed. There are things going on in our brains that sometimes can be a very physical thing that deals with different neurotransmitters that can be fixed. So sometimes it's a combination of all those things, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Angie, as we start to wrap things up here, what would you say to someone who is listening to this conversation? They feel like they're in the pit of despair. They can't break free. How can they use your book to really the practical tips to help them?
Well, one thing about Sugarcoated that I wanted to make sure that I did, first of all, it's a short book. It's not real thick. It's an easy read. We're all busy. I get it. The first half of Sugarcoated is filled with women who have struggled just like they are. Every type of craving and want and struggle is in the first half of Sugarcoated, because I wanted women to realize they're not alone. The second half of Sugarcoated is how to get well. And it shows resolve of how those women got healthy. There's a section on different prayers that you can say, depending on what you're struggling with. I've already heard back from women saying, I have those written down, taped to my mirror in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And that, of course, that's such a comfort to my heart to know that it's helping. There's ways and recommendations on first steps to get therapy, first steps to form a sister circle. The bottom line is, it's one step at a time. Mm-hmm. So many people, let's say they struggle with prescription pills or alcohol. I talked to a lot of young women that were struggling with alcohol during COVID. They struggled with it. They're still struggling with it because we know it's tough to kick that habit. You've got to take one step. You might fall back on that step, but then you go forward again. Don't beat yourself up and bury yourself in so much shame that you forget you are God's child. You are loved. God thinks we're the great. He's over the moon in love with us. Mm-hmm. And that means even when we're screwing up on those steps and can't get it together, but the key is getting it together one step at a time. Stop sugarcoating it and get real. And I hope women love the book and that it just empowers them and makes them feel loved no matter what. And then to get healthy. It's a beautiful thing.
Oh, Angie, where can people find out more information about you and the book?
They can go to AngieHaskell.com. So it's just AngieHaskell.com. Sugarcoated is on Amazon and ChristianBook.com and everywhere. I'm a painter and I'm also a jewelry designer. And I'm about to launch my jewelry line on my website. I've got one on actually, and it's Aspen from Santa Fe with crushed gemstones. And I patented the process, and it's to remind women with this piece of wood and with the gemstones, and I do turquoise, of course, as well, because I'm in Santa Fe, but that you are never broken. Mm. You are just put back together to be more beautiful than you were before. And I hope women remember that. And so there's a lot going on at AngieHaskell.com, so they can join and follow me, or I'm on Facebook and Instagram as well.
Well, we will make sure we include all of those links. Angie, you're just multi-talented. Such a joy.
Thank you so much.
I love you already. Before we go, I want to ask you a couple of our favorite Bible study tool questions. What Bible is your go-to Bible and what translation is it?
So my favorite Bible, and my daughter sent it to me, so I'm just like loving it. She told me about this. She said, "Mom, check this out," because she said, "You're such a girly girl," which I am. But isn't this beautiful?
Yes.
I love this Bible. And it is an English Standard Version. And what I love, of course, about it is that, you know, I can put my notes in here. Remember, I was a teacher, so I'm a note taker. I used to tell my seniors in high school, "I'm preparing you for college. You've got to learn how to take notes." So that's what I do all the time. So taking my notes. And then I'm also journaling just in my notebook. But what's funny is my daughter just sent me this Arteza acrylic painters. Oh, yes. I love these things. My daughter's an artist too, the one that's a psychologist. And she actually illustrated one of my book series. Oh. And so called the Diva Diaries for middle school. But anyway, she said, "Mom, you need these. I know you're just strictly notes, but I have SM for social media, M for meme, B for blog, you know, because I'm so busy writing and painting. I'll write something down for J to mean jewelry to inspire me on my next piece." So, I got a little bit of everything going.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, there you go. You covered your favorite journaling supplies. That is a cute notebook you had there.
Oh, this one?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
I got that at a place easily to find, or that we have in Santa Fe, that it just went in, and I was like, "Oh, my gosh, I can't believe we have one finally," because Santa Fe is a small town, but World Market.
Oh, and so, okay.
Yeah, that's where I got it. It's awesome. Cool. So yeah, all my notes are here, and my pastor came up to me last Sunday and he said, "Have you ever thought about maybe getting a bigger book, a bigger notebook? Because Angie, I see you when I'm preaching and you have ink's flying off your pen." He said, "You need a thicker one." And I'm like, "Well, I've got a whole book, you know, sets of them." So, you know, it works for me when you're a writer, and you know, you just have to do it your way. So
yes, definitely. Last question. What's your favorite app or website for Bible study tools?
There's a daily devotional app. It's just called Daily Devotional for Women. Has a heart with a cross in it. It's one I love just because, and it's just called Daily Devotional for Women app. It's pink, shocker. And it has music. You can choose music, the mood you're in. You can choose the verse, you know, the plan, the study plan you're on. I'm doing a week one right now about anxiety. Honestly, I get nervous about podcasts and I get nervous about the launch of the book. And so that's a struggle I've always had is anxiety. And God put that right in front of me and said, "A plan for women who struggle with anxiety." And I'm like, click. That's what I'm doing this week.
Oh, perfect.
It's cool.
Okay, excellent. Well, we will check that out. We'll include a link for everyone listening. Angie, thank you so much for being here today. We appreciate all of your insights to help people to stop the constant spiraling down of unhealthy habits and cravings that just can rob us of so many things. So we truly appreciate all that you've brought to the table on that.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. And I hope the book uplifts women all over the country and to know that you've got a sister in Christ that's rooting you on for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Listeners, I strongly suggest pick up a copy of this book. You will be delighted and encouraged and helped. We will have it linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for listening today. Have a blessed day.